So that's Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1 to 8. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of the land. Joshua will also cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with the land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to the ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So today we are privileged to have Pastor Andrew Marshall to share with us on the topic of courage and faith.
I don't know. G'day everybody, how are you? Wow, you're all asleep. Is this really, can I put this in here, or is that, that just seems pretty amazing to have that. That's cool. Are these things working, or these are okay? Can I use these? Is that okay? If I wander around, we'll work it out. I'll give you that back. So I just want everybody to stand up for a minute, will you? Just stand up, and I just want you to kind of do this. Okay, just kind of, I just want to get some of the cobwebs out of you, because I sense there's a few cobwebs in here. Okay, are you ready to hear the word of God this morning?
Yes.
You are? You are? Okay, do you believe the word of God?
Yes.
Okay, do you believe it's for you for today?
Yes.
Do you believe God can speak to you today?
Yes.
Do you believe he will speak to you today?
Yes.
Okay, sit down. Righto, let's go. That's good. I want to make sure that before we get started that you actually believe that God is here and that he can speak to you, because if you don't, we might as well go and do something else. How many of you are cricket followers? I'm guessing not many, right? So I spent my morning watching my beautiful New Zealand cricket team just crumble in front of the opposition of the mighty Australians. And so I came into this space this morning in kind of a bad place. Okay, but I've been lifted up from that because I've just been singing that my God can do anything and that he's on my side. And it doesn't matter how much those Australians are better than us, we still know that ultimately there will be a few Australians in heaven with us, apparently. This morning I want to talk about two essential qualities of the Christian faith. These qualities are spoken about in the Bible, and in that Bible reading we've just heard, they're all over that passage, and in another one we're going to look at. These qualities are going to be a major factor in your effectiveness to live for Jesus. And so I really want you to listen carefully this morning. These two factors have the potential, literally, to change your world, and to change the whole world when we unite with others who share these qualities. And this morning, obviously, I'm going to talk about the qualities of courage and faith. And when we consider the calling of the Christian faith, it's a call to an extreme life with Christ as the leader. Do you know that? Do you understand that? The call to the Christian life is a life that is extreme, that is on the edge, that is so different from any other life that you'll ever be called to. And when you consider that, we're going to need courage and faith to pursue that, to go after that and to fulfill that. For example, Jesus called us to go and make disciples of all nations. That's a huge call. He called us to take up our cross and follow him. He called us to forsake all others for him. He called us to lay down our lives as living sacrifices. He called us to die to self in order to live for Christ. He called us to love God with all that we are, to love each other and to love one another in the same way that we love ourselves. He called us to forgive people who hurt us. He called us to serve people, to care for the poor. He called us to live out a life of holiness, resisting the temptations of the flesh and instead walking in the power and the purity of the Spirit. This is a life so different to the values of the world that we live in. A life so different from what most people around us live like. This is the extreme life that Jesus calls us to, and it takes courage and faith to do it. The Christian life is not for cowards and unbelievers, but it's also not for superheroes. It's for ordinary people who are willing to be powered by an extraordinary God in order to achieve extraordinary things for God. So we're going to talk about courage and faith. How would you define courage? I want you to talk to the person right beside you. And you can, actually not just yet, thank you. Let's not give them the answers too early. Okay, I want you to talk to the person beside you. What is your definition of courage? Okay, just really quickly, you've got 30 seconds. So don't talk about what's happened this week, just straight into it. How would you define courage? 20 seconds. Okay, you got a definition sorted? Okay, great. Righto, let's demonstrate how courageous you are this morning. Okay, let's have a couple of people give me their definition. Who's willing? Or who's willing to be selected when I point at you? No, just kidding. Who's willing? Give me a definition of courage. So you know it theoretically, but not practically. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. That would do just fine. Yeah, put that up instead of my one. That's way better definition. I like that. That's really good. Someone else want it? Someone from over this side? I sense this is where the intelligence lies, over here. Hey! Okay. Someone over here? Just give me a definition. What did you think? Well done. Okay, yeah, that's cool. One more from over here. Chance for you to redeem yourselves. Okay, one more. Wow, I like that. That's really good. Is everyone here willing to take a little step today? Like, you know, if I was to ask you to take a huge, outrageous step, you don't know me that well. You may be not in a space to do that, but I think we can all take a little step for God today, right? I think that's a really good way of thinking about this. Let's put up this definition that I thought of as I was reading it on Wikipedia. It says, courage is the choice and willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. Wow, I felt some of those things. Physical courage is bravery in the face of physical pain, hardship, death, or threat of death. While moral courage is the ability to act rightly in the face of popular opposition, shame, scandal, discouragement, or personal loss. You know, somebody once told me that courage is the quality of running into danger to save someone or something rather than running away. Running into danger. And we'll see that in situations. We see that in wartime stories. We see that in natural disasters where people do incredible things in order to save other people. And it's important to remember that courage, and we've covered this in a couple of definitions, is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to act in the face of fear. And there's a few people that have given these definitions. It says that I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. And there should be another one after that as well. Courage is the resistance. To have a hairdo like that and be put on a screen. No, courage is the resistance to fear, is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. And I like this next one too. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something is more important than fear. And I love this last bit, very challenging. The brave may not live forever, but the cautious do not live at all. So do you want to live a long life? Or a great life? You've got to decide. You may be able to live a long, great life, but if you're going to live a great life for God, you've got to be willing to take some risks. And we do that in faith. So how would we define faith? Well, the Bible gives us some really good responses to that. In Hebrews 11, the most famous passage, it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith requires us to believe God for something that is not yet our present reality, that is not so tangible that we can trust it in that way. And so faith requires us to believe in the songs that we're singing, for example, that God is with us, is for us, is alongside of us. That when Jesus gave the Great Commission and he said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, make disciples in my name, and lo, I am with you always. Faith is believing that God is with us as we serve Christ. Are you with me? You understand where I'm coming from? So that's what faith is, and we need to apply both faith and courage. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is the currency by which God exists. He wants us to exercise faith in him, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is the essential element in our relationship with God. And we are called to put our faith in God who is unseen, just like all the people listed in Hebrews 11. We're called to trust God in our relationships, in our careers, with our money, with our families, with everything. We're called to trust what the Bible says about God, even when it seems difficult or confusing or in opposition to public opinion. But we are not called to blind faith. We are called to reasonable faith, a reasoned, thoughtful faith that is supported by evidence and experience. Do you believe that? Do you believe that our faith is reasonable? Oh, well, that's a huge relief to me. Thank you. We don't just believe that God is the creator because the Bible tells us so. We believe that God created the world because the created world shows signs of design, of order, of complexity, of beauty, as well as effects of the fall. And the evidence for a creator far outweighs the evidence for randomness and natural selection and evolution and chance. We believe in Jesus not just because the Bible tells us so, but because Jesus is a real historical person that people outside of the Bible speak about, and whose teachings and whose life and death and resurrection has changed the world that we live in. I believe the Bible not just because it's the world's best-selling book. You know, the Bible is such a best-selling book that they refuse to allow it to be on the best-selling book lists because it would win every day, every month, every year, forever. So they take it out. It's like it's too hard. They've got to handicap all the poor blokes that only sell a couple of million things. So they take the Bible away because it's the best-selling book year on year. But I believe it not just because of that, but because it stands up against the most rigorous tests for accuracy, for the science of textual criticism, that anything can throw at it. I believe the Bible because it speaks with greater insight into the wisdom of people's lives, speaks with greater insight with any other book, and because it remains relevant thousands of years after it was written. But I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. As a person of faith living in an age of scientific reasoning, I'm encouraged by what Jesus said to the man who demanded physical evidence of the resurrection. In John 20:28, Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet who have believed." And that's us. We're those people. We didn't get the opportunity to put our hands in the nail marks of Jesus' physical body. But we've chosen to believe, to put our faith in the one who's been revealed to us through creation, through the scriptures, through the experiences of our lives. Belief and trust, faith, is the essential element in our relationship with God. And it's an essential partner with courage, which is required to both believe and to serve God. I believe to live a real Christian life is going to take great courage. Courage to stand for what we believe. Courage to do the right thing. Courage to go where we're called. Courage to press in and press on for God when it's hard and uncomfortable and demands sacrifice for us. But that courage is not just bravado. It's not some kind of blind passion that we can sort of whip up. It's courage that comes from our faith in God. And it's a courage inspired by our relationship with God, our understanding of who God is. It's a courage to do what God wants, even when it stretches us beyond our comfort zones. How many of you in the last month have been stretched beyond your comfort zone? Put your hands up. Have you been stretched? Yeah, good. Okay, how does that feel? What's a word that describes that? Scary? Insecure? Yeah, it's a scary place to be stretched beyond our comfort zone. But you know what happens in that zone? You learn and you grow. If you never try anything that you've never tried before, you'd still be eating formula. Okay? If you don't know what formula is, that's what babies eat. Okay? If you've never tried anything that you've never done before, you'll be allowing your parents will be driving you to church for the rest of your lives. If you never try anything you've never tried before, you'd still be at school in year one. We've got to continue to be encouraged to try new things. And God is a God of challenge. He is called and committed to calling us out for us to grow up in our faith. And that's going to require courage. Courage is inspired by our relationship with God, our understanding of who He is as He stretches us beyond our comfort zones. Simply believing strongly in God isn't enough. God calls us to put our faith into action every day, and that takes courage. I'm sure that at some times in all of our lives, you've had to apply courage in situations. Some of you have moved to a new country. It takes courage to start at a new school. It takes courage to get a new job and start that process. It takes courage to learn how to drive. It takes more courage to teach people how to drive. It takes courage to meet new people, to move to another church, to try new things, to face an illness. It takes courage to trust God with your life. It takes courage to change, to become the person God wants you to be. There are so many times in life when courage needs to be applied in order to move on and move up with God. We can sometimes find courage from within ourselves or from the motivation of other people around us. But as Christians, we have the added advantage of being able to draw courage directly from God, from our faith in God. And it's my belief that courage based on faith in God should be able to achieve greater things, be more life-changing and more long-lasting than any other form of courage. I believe God wants us to do great things for Him. And I believe that we're going to need courage to achieve God's purposes in us. And that's what our Bible reading was all about this morning. You've looked already at Deuteronomy 31 verses 1 through 8. Open your Bibles, if you will, in that place. Let's just reflect on what's going on here. As Joshua is being called into this role of becoming a leader of this great nation of Israel. And this is going to take huge courage to do this. Joshua has seen many things in his life already. He's lived under Egyptian captivity. So he's lived the life of a slave. He's seen Moses come back to Egypt and perform miraculous signs. He's been among those who escaped from Egypt. And then as it looked as if they were going to be captured again, he's walked with his people across dry land through the Red Sea. That's got to induce some courage. He's been chosen as a spy to represent his tribe of Ephraim. And he's one of only two men who believed that Israel could defeat their new enemy. And now he's about to become the leader of this fledgling nation. Not just a political leader, but a military leader. The one who would stand in battle against the opposition that would stop these people coming into the promised land. And this passage ends with the words, "Don't be discouraged." The opposite of having courage. Discouragement would deprive Joshua of all he needed to lead Israel. And this is what discouragement means. It means without hope. It means to deprive of courage or hope. It means having no expectation of a favorable outcome. How many of you have felt discouraged in the last month? I have. Yeah, absolutely. We all face discouragement. Discouragement is the removal of courage. encouragement is putting courage into a person. And so that's why the Bible says we should encourage one another daily. Because courage evaporates from our lives. Stuff goes on in our daily lives that it just disappears. It dissipates. Courage empowers us to do things. Discouragement takes that power away. Perhaps you've been discouraged recently and you felt stuck, unable to move on in life. The things you hoped for maybe haven't eventuated. Maybe things you prayed for haven't been answered in the way you'd hoped. Or unexpected things have come into your life that knocked you back. In times of discouragement, we can at times feel that God has left us. We don't sense his presence. We're afraid to move. Now, I want to know that God is just as committed to me as he was to Joshua. And that's what I'm asking you to believe this morning, that God is just as committed to you and to this church as he was to Joshua and the nation of Israel. He wants to encourage you. He wants to put courage into your life, to inspire you with courage and confidence to take on life, to look to him, to get up and to walk towards whatever it is that he's promised for your life. Moses didn't inspire courage in Joshua by simply telling him what a great guy he was, by how brave he'd been. He could have done that, and we sometimes do that. We want to encourage people, so we tell them how great they are. We want to build them up, and that's a good thing. But Moses didn't inspire courage in Joshua by telling him how good he was. He inspired courage by telling him how good God was and that God was with him. In Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you. This is what Moses says. And you will and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. But I want you to notice something in this passage. Joshua needed to hear directly from God to get his faith and courage packaged together. Moses had spoken to him, and that was awesome. That was amazing. Moses, this incredibly great leader, and obviously Joshua had looked to Moses for leadership for himself. He'd been inspired by his leadership, but it wasn't until God spoke directly to Joshua that he was ready to take on the battle. And sometimes, folks, we need to hear from God ourselves. We need a message from God about our situation. And that's what happens in Joshua chapter 1. Turn in your Bibles there, will you? In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua hears directly from God himself. So the word has come through Moses from God, but now the word comes to Joshua directly. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. How do you think Joshua felt after he heard that word from God? You know, have you ever had a word that God's passed on to you via someone else? Versus a word you've heard directly for yourself. I don't know if you relate to this, but there's been a lot of times in my life where I've heard God speak through other people about a situation that I thought related to me, and that's been encouraging. But boy, when you sense that God is speaking directly into your situation, that is incredibly powerful. And that's what Joshua got here. Joshua got a word from God for himself. And it gave him what he was going to need to do this outrageous task that God had put before him. And again, we see a formula for courage here. God is with you, therefore have courage. Or in other words, your faith in God being with you will generate courage. If we truly believe that God is for us, that God is with us, and that God is in us, courage will flow. And we will follow where God calls us. If we truly believe that God is with us, that God is for us, and that God is in us, courage will flow and we will follow. And this, my friends, is the recipe to stop living an ordinary life. This is the message. You see, we can live an ordinary Christian life. We can live a life that looks quite good, but it's boring. It doesn't make any difference for the kingdom of God. It's not taking on the enemy in the dark places of our society. It's having no impact at all on the people around us. It's playing church. It's playing the Christian life. It's mediocre, it's average, and it's boring. And you know how I know that? Because much of my life has been like that. I've lived big chunks of my life living in the mediocre, living in those places that really had no impact on anybody else or anything else. Living stages of my life that were just nice Christianity, but were not outrageous living for God in the way I needed to be living. And folks, when we come to an understanding of this, then we're willing to take on the world for Him. He has called us to a life that you cannot live without Him. And so we have two choices. We either live an ordinary life with God kind of on the fringes, or we embrace the reality of this and we begin to live a life with God that takes us into difficult places, takes us into the dark places of our world, but allows us to live with faith and courage for God that makes a difference in people's lives, that makes a difference with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I think one of the greatest questions we need to ask as Christians, and I'm assuming you that most of you here are believers in Jesus, is do you want to live an ordinary Christian life, or do you want to live an extraordinary Christian life? If you want to live an ordinary Christian life, you just carry on coming to church and doing your thing. That's quite fine. But if you want to live an extraordinary Christian life, you need to embrace who God is and who God wants you to become. And you need to begin to take some steps towards that place of courage and faith. Because the more I read about the Christian life, the more I understand about who God is, and I've been a Christian for around about 35 years. I became a Christian when I was 20 years old. The more I understand about the Christian life, the more afraid I get. You know what I mean by that? The more frightened I get about the Christian faith, because if I continue to live without God and try to do the Christian faith, impossible. You know, God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, the standard of purity to the church, and the acceptance of that when Jesus came was that it couldn't be done. That's what God does. He calls us to do impossible things for Him. Was it reasonable to ask Joshua to go in and take the promised land? Was that something that could be done by just being clever in a military strategy? That was something that was impossible without God. Was it reasonable for God to say to the Israelites that they could cross the Red Sea? Was it reasonable to say that they could cross the Red Sea on dry land? Was it reasonable that Jesus was able to take a little bit of bread and fish and feed 5,000 people twice? God calls us to something so far beyond what you can do in your natural abilities that without God's presence, without God's Spirit enabling it, it's impossible. But with God, it's possible. And that's the life we're called to. That's the exciting steps that we're called to. Our courage is going to come as we hear from God, and hear from God and requires some active listening. Look at Joshua's example of how he was encouraged to hear from God. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law, verses 7 and 8 of Joshua 1. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Getting God's word into us is one of the ways that courage and faith are built into our lives. This morning, some of us, maybe all of us, are lacking courage for what we know God's calling us to do. Maybe something that's happening in our personal lives. Maybe courage to ask forgiveness, or courage to confront somebody about an issue in their lives. Maybe it's courage to change a way of thinking, or a habit that's destructive. Maybe it's courage to pray out loud. Maybe it's courage to have a difficult conversation with someone, to talk about something that's affecting your relationship. Maybe it's courage to volunteer for some kind of ministry or outreach. Maybe it's courage to get baptized. Maybe it's courage to share your faith with a friend. In my family, we had a really challenging situation recently where a friend of ours on Facebook, that was one of the teachers of my children back in primary school, posted a Facebook post that said, if you support the stance of Israel Folau, please defriend me. That's a difficult situation, isn't it? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands as to how you believe about that situation, but that is a complex moral issue. And so we were faced with the situation as, well, how do we tackle this? What do you do with this? This is not as simple as just yes or no. There's nuance in this conversation. But, you know, it requires some moral courage to know how to deal with this stuff in the world that we live in. You know, the Israel Folau issue, and I'd love to chat with you over coffee about it, is just on the tip of the iceberg. Our nation's currently debating euthanasia, debating abortion, debating drug reforms. What do you think about those issues? Are you having a say? You're talking to your local MPs if you're old enough to vote? What do we do as the church with these issues? Are we willing to stand up and have a say, have a position, or is it simpler just to hide within our buildings on these issues? Challenging, isn't it? I find it so. Maybe for you not so much. There's many areas of our lives where courage is needed to face everyday life, but even more so when we're committed to following Christ. I want to leave you with a challenge this morning. A challenge to live a courageous and faith-filled life. What would it look like for you if you had more courage? What would happen? What would change? What would you stop doing? What would you start doing? What would it look like to have more courage? Jesus is calling us out of our comfort zones, out of those places where we can just relax, where we can chill, almost there. I want you to do some work with me on this morning. There's a little card that Derek's going to hand out, my beautiful assistant. There's a little card that we've used at church and we still use, and it just talks about moving out of a comfort zone into a courage zone. And I just want you to do this with me this morning. We've got a little bit of time. I want you to have a look at what's in that comfort zone as these spin around. The things I enjoy doing: safety and security, relaxation, ease, surety, freedom from risk, things I'm accustomed to. Now, I want to just clarify, there's nothing wrong with a comfort zone. Okay? We're not asking you to kind of live on the edge of a building for your whole life. A comfort zone is okay. A comfort zone is okay. But a comfort zone is not a space to live your whole life. A comfort zone is a safe place to come back to to be empowered to move off again into the courage zone. In the courage zone, it says there's things I'm afraid of, things I've never tried, hard moments, ultimate potential, unexplored territory, risk, things that are difficult, opportunities, bravery, higher duty, adventure. Sounds pretty exciting to me. Courage zone. What's in the courage zone? And this morning, I'm just going to pray for you guys. And I want you, if you will, I think there's some pens up the back as well if you don't have one. I want you to write down, what do you think God is calling you to in the courage zone of your life? You know, I believe God is calling us out of a comfort zone into a courage zone. And I wonder what that's going to look like for you. I'm wondering what it looks like for me as well. There's some things that God has really laid on my heart that he wants me to be involved in, and they're going to take some courage for me to get to that place. What's he calling you into? Whatever it is, God is going to be with you. He's going to be in you. He's going to provide what you need. But why don't we just take a moment and just ask God to help us in this area of our lives. Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? Father, I just thank you for Joshua, Lord, this morning. He's one of the great heroes of the Bible. Lord, he was one of only two men who believed that you could enable the Israelites to take the promised land. But Lord, he was outvoted. The people lacked faith. They lacked courage, and so they spent 40 years living in mediocrity, wandering around a desert. And Lord, sometimes our Christian life feels a bit that way. It feels like mediocrity. It feels average. It feels sometimes, dare I say it, boring. And Lord, that's not the space that you've called us to live in. You've called us to live the adventure with you. To live, Lord, yes, in the comfort of who you are, in the security of who we are in you. But Lord, to live a life of adventure, where we walk by faith and not by sight, where we allow your Spirit to empower us to do more than we can do in our natural selves. And Lord, what does that look like for this group of people here this morning? I don't know, but you do. And so, Lord, in just these moments of quietness and reflection, would you just impress on each person here what for them is going to be in this courage zone as they move forward with you? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Just take a moment to do that work. You know, there's a sense that this could be pretty powerful, right? If each one of us could just do one thing that's in that little circle we just wrote in, things are going to change. It's actually going to change the world in some way. The people around you, maybe. In my courage zone, it's sharing my faith with my neighbour, Colin. Great guy, known him for a number of years. Awesome friend, helps me out with stuff at home, but I just can't get my conversations into that spiritual zone with him. Talk about so many things, but I just can't transition into those conversations. So would you pray for me about that? because I want him to know the life that's in Christ. What is it for you? I don't know what it is for you. But let's stand together, shall we? The team's going to come and lead us in a song, but I just want to pray. I want to pray over these spaces. If you want to share this with someone, that's cool, but you know, you don't have to do that. This is really ultimately between you and God. You know? But I just want to pray into this space. And I know some of you here maybe feel discouraged, and that's a tough place to be. I've been in that space too, and it's hard to live there. But let's just pray, would we? Let's just pray. Father, Lord, I just firstly want to pray for those, Lord, this morning who maybe feel discouraged. Lord, who aren't maybe feeling that they're ready to take on this challenge. Lord, stuff's happened in their lives that just makes them feel really in a flat spot, that life really doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And they're wondering, Lord, if you're really real, if you really care, and if you're really going to work in their lives. And Lord, I just want to pray into those people's lives today, and I want to ask you, Lord, to do a miracle for them. Lord, would you reveal your love for them today? Would you show them what a mighty God you are? Would you just turn up for them in their lives so that beyond the shadow of a doubt, they would know that you exist, that you're real, that you're for them, not against them. And that, Lord, some of the setbacks that they've experienced recently, Lord, are not you speaking against them, Lord. They're just part of the toughness of living in a fallen world. And you've promised to be with us in the midst of the ups and the downs of life. And so, Lord, in the midst of discouragement, we preach and speak and prophesy encouragement, courage into these people's lives. And just pray, Lord, right here, right now, they could be experiencing something of the ministry of your Holy Spirit flooding their lives, flooding their minds, flooding their hearts today with your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. Just pour your Spirit over this place today. Father, for those who have put something in that outer circle saying, Lord, we want to be courageous. We want to take a step of faith with you, Lord. Lord, I want to pray that you would just fill, Lord, our lives with your presence. Fill us afresh with your Spirit, Lord. Take us deeper into your Word, Lord. Your Word tells us that that's where faith grows and builds, is through the reading and application of your Holy Word. So, Lord, take us into a deeper place with that. But, Lord, I pray for those things that you've put on our heart, maybe things we've been afraid of. Lord, maybe things we're still afraid of. But, Lord, courage is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to act in the midst of it. And, Lord, we're not just drawing on our own reserves. We're drawing on you. And your reserves are limitless. Your reserves are eternal. Lord, and we just want to pray that you would fill us with courage today as your Spirit just freshly moves in this space, moves in this place, comes upon our lives again. We want to ask that you would fill us with courage, fill us with faith, fill us with the ability to take small steps and big steps towards the life that you've called us to live, the beautiful, extreme life of following Jesus. And so, Father, we ask you to do that work in us today. Lord, I pray for each one here that we would live big lives for you. Lord, we don't want to be famous for Jesus, but Lord, we want to be faithful for you. And whether anyone else notices doesn't matter. But Lord, we want to live big lives for you. We want to take steps of faith that move us towards your plans and purposes for each one of us. So Lord, take this moment that we've shared this morning and use it for your glory. Seal it, Lord, as we worship you here in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stay standing as the team leads us.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Whom the Son sets free, it's free indeed. I'm the child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free,